Sup, dweebs, I'm still alive. I made it. I made it through the Bahamas.
I'm so happy that you're here.
We went to the Bahamas. It was war-torn. There was a hurricane. You might have heard of it. Hurricane Dorian. Have you heard of it? Maybe not. Yeah, you have. It was terrible. Anyway, welcome to Similarly Different. My name is Robert Sherman. Her name is Dylan Camelay. It's a show about being different, but also being the same. And also a whole bunch of other shit. I'm super tired. We just got back from the Bahamas like 3 days ago. I probably haven't slept since because I've had school and work and a whole bunch of other shit. So I'm all over the place. And this, great. This week we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go with no topic, and not because we don't have any topics to use, but because I just don't really fucking feel like talking about something. I don't feel like talking about things that are deep. Last week, we talked about anxiety. We talked about diet a little bit with Marissa. We talked about a whole bunch of different things, and that was fantastic. If you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to that. And then after this one, I'm finished listening to this one, of course, and then go back and listen to that. And if you didn't understand the beginning when I said I'm back from the Bahamas, my girlfriend and I went to the Bahamas to celebrate our three-year anniversary type thing. And there was a hurricane going on. And when we got there, there was no hurricane.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Not even like a trace?
Nope. We got to Jacksonville and it was 95 and sunny. And they put us on a bus and they shipped us all the way to Orlando, which is 2.5 hours. So we sat on a charter bus for 2.5 hours and roasted our ass off to get on this boat. It was fantastic. We had a great time. We'll get into that a little bit later. I think we're going to talk a little bit. I have a couple funny stories from our time in the Bahamas. But first, I do want to say welcome, Dylan.
Welcome. What do you mean?
You haven't talked since we started. So I wanted to say, welcome, Dylan. We're here.
I haven't been in the Bahamas, so I don't have shit to tell you. So I was just waiting for your Bahamas stories. I just got my trail mix and coffee. I'm chill.
She's eating trail mix. She's drinking coffee.
I got an orange M&M right now.
She's got a new but old tapestry. You get it. In the back of her room. It's fantastic. Shit's great. Everything's fantastic.
Fantastic. You described it as very white girl.
It is very white girl. It's super white girl.
I hung it by myself, so I'm very proud of my white girl.
Every girl I've ever dated other than the current one has had a tapestry.
The current one.
She doesn't have a tapestry. I think it's just because she can't hang things straight.
Dude, I can't either. You can't see the top of it, so you don't know how crooked that shit is, but it's not straight.
Looks straight to me. Straight enough for me. So yesterday was a big day in the nations. If you're listening to this a week ahead of time, so it's like September 20-something. But yesterday...
You mean a week after.
Yeah, yeah. So yesterday was... Today's September 12th. Yesterday was September 11th. And obviously, we all know what happened on September 11th in 2001. It's a big deal. Everybody posts on social media about it. The only time in the year that they ever say anything about it. And 18 years ago. Can you believe that was 18 years ago?
No.
It feels just like yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you can just watch documentaries on it and everything. And everybody has a different opinion on 9/11.
Well, I think
everything.
Everybody remembers where they were when it happened, you know.
I was six, so yeah. I think I had the flu. Everybody has these stories about like their parents coming to get them from school and everyone being scared and panicked, but I remember having the flu, and this is like one of my earliest memories in my entire life.
Really?
I'm just throwing up. So I don't remember looking at the TV. I don't remember seeing any of the planes. I don't remember even really knowing what was going on. I just knew my mom was home from work and my stepdad at the time was home from work and we were all just hanging out. I had no clue. I don't even remember when I realized that something was going on, to be honest with you, probably way later in life. But like you said, very sad day. And yeah, I remember everybody being home for some odd reason. I didn't get it. And I still, you know, I don't.
Yeah,
I was seven, so everybody talks about it like it was
you
some
aged up
like
in your story.
A six, whatever. I was six or seven, one of the two. I was in second grade. I was in second grade, so you don't. I mean, at second, I don't care what anyone fucking tells you. second and under grade, you don't know what's going on. You've got no fucking clue. So September 11th is 18 years old this year. September 11th is legal. And they always tell us, like, you know what, like, never forget. Never forget 9/11. Never forget the survivors and never forget the first responders and all this stuff. And I get that. Mm-hmm. It's a good sentiment. Never forget. But why can't we forget that? Don't you think that's something that you'd want to forget? I'm 7 years old. I'm watching TV. Oh, well, I'm not, but everybody else apparently in the world is 7 years old, watching TV, watching planes fly into buildings. You're literally witnessing the death of 3,000 people. Why the fuck would you not want to forget that? I saw something on Reddit that was like, I wonder why our generation's so fucked up, because we spent 4 hours in one day watching the mass death of 3,000 people on TV, but no one can understand why we're all fucked up. Like,
yeah,
it's so crazy. I feel like that's just something you would want to forget. I mean, we've forgotten Pearl Harbor, haven't we?
Well, I think
I don't go around talking about
I
Pearl
think
Harbor.
The internet, though, it like amplifies it, you know. So it's, I don't know, like, maybe before it's like you only heard about these things like whenever they're like published again, but it's just like on the internet, it's like a constant backlog. You can always find it. And so it never really goes away.
And even building on that, I personally don't know anybody who was directly affected by 9/11. I got a big old lecture from somebody. He's like, those people in that building, they didn't ask for that. And I'm like,
well, no. That was literally just another day in the office.
Well, that's where my brain and your brain is different, because I think that if you have to take more than a 45-second elevator ride to get to your place of business after sitting in traffic for New York traffic forever to get to the building, going through security to get there, and then you take a 2-minute elevator ride to your 90th floor.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's the largest building in the United States. Right?
I think it's just that nobody...
It screams Target. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't agree with that, but that's why we're similarly different.
The point of the show. Because my brain's fucked up that way, and yours is not.
I see a building, and I'm like, that's a building. It shouldn't get hit with anything.
Well, I don't... Okay, do you think that I see a tall building, and I'm like, huh, let's figure out how to fly a plane into that motherfucker?
I mean, I hope not, but like...
No, I don't think that. No. I don't think that. That's terrifying. I would never do that. I can't even hurt a fly.
I killed a spider this morning. I didn't want to do it.
How fucking dare you, dude?
It was already dying, so I'm like, I just gave it one last crunch. But I felt bad about it.
You put it out of its misery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I mean, so... mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, Marissa and I went to the Bahamas over the weekend, and it was a bitch getting there, and... Ooh. I feel bad kind of complaining about it because, I mean, a whole ass category 5 hurricane hit this nation and destroyed like literally 80% of it. But I'm a white privileged guy in America. So, I'm fucking mad. I had to sit on a 2.5-hour bus to get from from Jacksonville to Orlando. Mm-hmm. We stood in this giant fucking line in Jacksonville in the sun, just burning. There was a guy on the bus playing like vulgar rap music out loud. It was not a great start. No. We didn't start out hot. We didn't start out hot at all. I don't think I'm ever going to take a cruise again.
No? It ruined your cruise experience? I've never taken one.
I would say don't do it. I'm full out on cruises. Full out.
All right. So what didn't you like about it? Or like what is it about it that you don't ever want to experience again?
The whole process is just super weird. Like you try to get on the boat and you have to go through like 7 different stages of security, which I mean, I get it. Like you could be smuggling someone out of the country. Mm-hmm. Greatest country in the world. I don't know why you'd want to get smuggled out, but whatever. And so that's annoying. And they're just always like boarding pass, boarding pass, boarding pass. And like, you're like sweating and you have all your luggage and you're like, bitch, how the fuck did I get past the last person if I didn't have a boarding pass?
Right. It's like the Pokemon League. Like you need this badge to get to the Elite.
Yeah, just let me fucking fight them. Just let me fight them. And if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And it was just, hectic. I mean, if it would have been fine if we wouldn't have had to bus from Jacksonville all the way to Orlando.
Yeah.
But we got into our room and like we had this really nice room with a super cool ocean view, and the bottle of Chardonnay was already in there, yes. And the liter of Malibu rum was already in there, and we had, there was a little stuffed elephant that we named Jeremy in there. And
did you take Jeremy with you?
No, they replaced Jeremy with a Kirk, I believe the name was. After we got a new towel animal every single day, so we renamed them all.
Did you take pictures of them all though?
We took one picture of Jeremy because Jeremy was the only one we cared about. The rest were just scrub animals we didn't care about. We got connected to Jeremy. There was a heartfelt connection to Jeremy. You walk into a cabin on a cruise the first time you ever, and there's just a towel, adorable elephant there. You fall in love with that little guy. We kept him. We put him up on this little shelf, and we were like, oh, no one's going to touch him.
And they did.
And then we got back the next day, and the fucking the cleaning crew killed Jeremy and made him into like a swan or some bullshit.
You should write a complaint just for that. Like, you should just say you killed Jeremy, and that's it. Just leave it at that. And yeah. So does it feel... It feels bad to walk into a room now because you know Jeremy won't be there.
It felt bad every day after Jeremy died. There was real tension in the room between me and my significant other, just because Jeremy passed away. But
yeah.
Rest in peace, Jeremy. You made up a good point.
Yes.
Just before, and you didn't even know.
All right.
It's another reason I will never take a fucking cruise ever again. I'm making a whole bunch of noise.
Okay. So this is a guide on why not to take a cruise, as told by Robert Sherman.
At least on Carnival. Go do like a Royal Caribbean or a Disney. Don't go on Carnival.
Before I even hear all the reasons why you didn't enjoy it or won't do it again. So do you wish that now that it would have gotten canceled from via hurricane? Or do you think that you would have been more bummed out because you wouldn't have experienced it or known?
I do not wish that it would have got canceled. It was okay. A great experience for me. I've never been out of the country other than Canada. I've never been on the ocean. This was my first time. I believe this is my first time seeing the ocean. I got to spend 6 consecutive days with Marissa. No cell phone service, no distractions from work, nothing. All of that was fantastic. I loved that. We talked all about diet last episode. I got off my diet for the week. I drank a soda.
Yeah, that's what you do on cruises. Yeah, you just eat all day, right?
Yeah, so I left America at a slim 160 and got back to America at 165.6. So I gained a pound every day
almost.
and 4 days later I'm back down to like 198. So I've already lost it all.
Cool.
So no, I don't regret going. I don't regret doing it at all. The experience was great. It was, some things opened my eyes to the way that life is here in the United States of America, even though we complain about it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And, we got some good time. I mean, we got to spend time together that we haven't got to spend in a long time. So
yeah.
for that, I'm very happy. For what I'm not happy about, you said earlier, write an email to complain.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about who the worst fucking people in the world are. If you fall in this demographic, thank you for listening, but also fuck you. 45 years old, white, female. The worst people I have ever met. Are you bitches ever happy about anything?
Yeah.
Ever.
I don't think so. That's like where I work, that's mainly, well, not mainly, but I would say that's like a portion of the customers I work with every day, and yeah, they're almost impossible to please.
Terrible. We sit down for dinner the first night. They say, "Do you want a table, or can you sit in a group?" We made the mistake, and we go, "That's fine. We can sit in a group." We get there, and it's just all old women, and they're complaining about
everything.
Standing outside in Jacksonville in the heat, and she dead ass. All seriousness says, I'm going to construct an email to the CEO of Carnival Cruise Lines and let him know that I didn't appreciate standing outside. Bitch. The reason you were standing outside was because a hurricane was destroying a country and killing people. You're mad about standing outside. But where are you right now? sitting in a banquet hall dining room on a cruise that you spent probably $2,000 to be on. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Fast forward a couple days, Marissa and I got to do this cool thing called the chef's table where it was like a $250 dinner, and we did it for the day of our anniversary. I mean, we say anniversary, but in our relationship, we don't call it anniversary, but it is mm-hmm. what people, you know, whatever.
It's like the day you technically became official?
No, it's the day that we started talking.
Aw, that's cute.
Yes. So we consider that our dating anniversary or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's horrible.
Yeah, because I believe that anniversaries are only held for like people that are married.
Oh, really?
Are you going to have three anniversaries? You're going to have the dating anniversary, the engaged anniversary, and then the wedding anniversary?
I mean, it's nice to like remember like when you do get married, I guess, to like this is how it all started. But like,
well yeah, but we just quantify it differently. We just don't call it an anniversary.
Okay.
So we're sitting there and we're getting ready for it. And part of this experience included like touring the kitchen. So before you tour a kitchen, if you're not an ignorant fucking moron, you have to sign a waiver. You have to sign a waiver to go into a kitchen where people are cooking food that thousands of people are going to eat.
Okay.
The waiver came pre-circled. The first question was, have you had the flu in the last 4 days? The answers were yes or no. The answer to the fucking form was no. So it was pre-circled because you can't go into a kitchen if you've had the flu. So if you circle yes, you can't go. So that's why no is circled. There's another two questions, same thing. Something about like tuberculosis and something else. This lady calls the woman over and goes, y'all expect me to sign this when it was already circled?
It was like so clearly laid out for you and you still messed it up.
And I said,
that's amazing.
I said, do you have the flu? Because if you have the flu, don't sign that.
Right.
This woman canceled her whole ass reservation to the thing. And so did her giant group of people, which was, I mean, that worked out for us in the long run. There was only like 8 of us total then.
Yeah.
Instead of like 15 or something like that. We got to know the people, other cruisers and stuff like that. We had a great conversation with them. It was fun. It was a lot better without that fucking bitch.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. You just find the dumbest shit to complain about. That's all they do. And I think, we call them something, Karens or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I want to speak just to your roast. Manager. Yeah, they're the Karens. Sorry if your name is Karen and you're listening. I hope that you're better than these Karens.
I'm not, and she probably isn't.
I'm sure you are, because you're listening to this, so.
Oh, yes, you do listen to Similarly Different. So, you are probably better. So, we do that and everything, and we're supposed to go to two different islands on the Bahamas. And one island that we were supposed to go to, unfortunately, was like the main victim of Hurricane Dorian.
Aww.
And it is just in shambles. I think to this day, and now this is 3 weeks after I returned already from the cruise.
3 weeks?
Well, right now it's a week.
Oh.
But when it airs, it'll be 3 weeks.
With, no.
Yeah.
Like, not when we're recording this. Back. What do you mean?
No, but when this releases, it'll be 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're time travelers. Sorry, everybody.
We are. I wouldn't be surprised if they're still pulling bodies out of that shit, because from what we didn't see anything. They didn't bring us anywhere near it.
No.
But you can kind of, you saw it on the news. I don't watch the news, but I'm sure some people saw it on the news. It was terrible. So they canceled that call. We didn't go to that time. So we stayed in the boat instead. We drank a lot of rum. Everything was fantastic. The next day we went to Nassau, Bahamas, and I was expecting to walk off the boat. There be a beach, white sand, daiquiris,
mm-hmm.
ocean, paradise. Let me tell you, if you have never been on a cruise and you have never been to a foreign country, do not even think about that being what you think.
Do not expect any of that.
You can't take 4 steps off this boat without Bahamian people running up to you. I'm not going to do the accent. They have Nigerian accents trying to get you to buy shit.
Really?
And when I say shit, I mean anything under the sun, including any drug you want.
What?
Literally any drug you want. So we're walking down the street,
mm-hmm.
and Marissa wants to buy a coconut. So she buys a coconut. They cut it open for her. She gets the water out of it, yada, yada, yada. We're standing there next to this black car, and then I'm standing there, yeah. and the window starts to roll down. Heavyset Bahama guy sitting in the car. looks me dead in the eye and he goes, "Hey, man," I guess I am going to do the accent. "Hey, man, you want to buy fat 8-ball? And I was like, "8-ball of what?"
Bobby.
Because I don't do drugs and yeah. I wasn't thinking about it. And he goes, 8-ball coke, man, 25.
Oh,
and I was like, not today, but I don't think we're going to do that today. Thank you, though. And he was like, "Okay, come back later." Like, it was like so crazy.
Oh, shit.
People walking up asking if we wanted to buy weed, which, I mean, that happens here. So people walking up asking if we wanted to like rent scooters, want party favors. They were selling, if you know what lean is, it's like it's codeine drink. It's a drink made with codeine.
I don't know if I know what codeine is.
Codeine is a drug. You can only get it by prescription.
Okay.
It'll fuck you up. And this guy was selling what is called, it's like a mixture of lean and most times Sprite and like some kind of hard candy melted down or even just put in there for flavor. And this guy was selling it he was working for a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So he was working an outside bar, but he was selling it from the outside bar. So people would walk up with like little white styrofoam cups, give them $10. He would pour a little bit of stuff from this plastic carton into it and they would walk away. But the craziest part about it was that this is all happening in front of Bahama policemen.
And they didn't do anything or they didn't.
They didn't give a fuck.
That's wild.
They did not care at all. I was like, what the fuck is happening? It was insane. And yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums up our trips to the Bahamas.
Well, I guess it makes you wonder, like, what would count to be like
murder,
arrested for, or yeah, like, is that all, like, just if you kill somebody, like, but like drug, just really open drug use and drug selling.
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. You know what it makes me grateful for our homeless people here in Detroit, because they just walk up to you and like all they expect from you is a quarter. They're not gonna try to sell you a brick of fucking heroin. They're just like, "Can I please just have a quarter? Like, I just want to fucking go buy a tall boy of beer." They're not expecting you to buy a whole ounce of fucking meth from them. I don't know if you can even buy meth like that, but
right.
It was insane. And other than that, we had a good time. I mean, I swam in the ocean for the first time, I believe. That was fantastic. I was getting hit by waves. I felt like I was a 12-year-old kid.
Did you try like surfing or anything?
Did I try what?
Surfing?
No, I didn't try surfing. We didn't do anything. I mean, we went to the beach. We walked.
We didn't do anything.
We walked a quarter mile down the beach and at least 40 people tried to sell us something. They finally left us alone while we were swimming, which was fantastic. And then walked a quarter mile back to where the taxis were, where 40 other people tried to sell us more stuff. So the theme of our entire vacation was just to do nothing. We didn't want to do anything. We saw some comedy shows. One guy's name was Jeff Keith. He was funny as fuck. He was great. Shout out him.
Yeah.
There were some like musical productions with Motown music and one with rock and roll music. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back to the United States and here we are. I made it through, Operation Hurricane Dorian Survival. We did it, guys. And I'm back.
We did it. It was all of us together. Not only Bobby came back from the Bahamas, we have all come back with it. It's like those YouTubers that are like, "We did it, guys.
If we did it, send me some of the paycheck that you got." Thank you. Appreciate that.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Bobby, did you bring me anything?
I didn't bring anything home for myself. I didn't want anything. No.
Nothing to remember?
No, we took a lot of pictures. Marissa is a big picture person. So we took a lot of pictures. And other than that, man, by the last day, I was ready to come home. I get homesick really, really quick.
Yeah.
And you're stuck on a fucking boat. Think about that.
Did you get like seasick? Do you feel it at all on a cruise?
You feel it when that boat,
yeah.
Hey, when that boat's a rocking, don't come a knocking. Because if you do, you're going to get sick. That shit will get to rocking. I didn't get seasick at all until I got home.
Oh, okay.
The day after, I'm sitting at my desk chair at work. And I'm feeling the rocking.
Oh, that's so strange. That reminds me of like when after like a whole day of like being on roller coasters, when you like lay down to go to sleep that night, you feel like you're on a roller coaster. That's so funny.
This lasted for like 2 days for me.
Wow.
And I felt more sick in those 2 days than I did any day on the boat. It was incredible in a bad way. Anti-incredible. It was not great. but we survived and we persevered, and we're here. We persevered and we're here.
Did you notice your little southern twang that came out just then when you said
it? Must be from being around all those southern people. A lot of southern people on cruises.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And they have accents. And you can't understand them.
All right.
So, another point. So, there's my points of going on a cruise.
So, to summarize, no 45-year-old women. Fill out your forms if they're already pre-circled.
Just sign it.
Just sign
just
it.
Just sign it. Just sign it.
Southern accents and all of the drug dealers in the Bahamas.
Don't buy drugs from the Bahamian people. You don't know what's in that shit. My cousin said it's probably the most pure. So if I would have bought the cocaine, I probably would have been okay. Mm-hmm. But he's also a white dude from Woodhaven, Michigan. So I don't fucking believe him. So it could have been all fentanyl. I could be dead by right now.
It makes you wonder how many people actually buy from them, though, that get off of those cruises. Or do they take some back? I don't know. With all fucking 7 floors of security that you went through. Yeah.
It's a ballsy move. I'll tell you this. I would rather buy my cocaine if I did it. I would rather buy my cocaine from those Bahamian guys than I would the too old for their age frat boys at Whiskey's on the Water here in Downriver.
Dude, the only time I've been to Whiskey's, literally every single time, has been for either a wedding shower or a baby shower. So it's really fucking hilarious to me that your association with it is drugs.
There's always one white guy that's in there. It's like, hey, bro, you having a good night? And you're like, yeah, man. And you know what's coming. I'm just trying to wash my hands.
Oh my God.
Hey, dude, you want to buy some? And it's just get the fuck out. Dude, you're 29. Turn the hat around. Wear something more appropriate. Why are you wearing a basketball jersey to the bar?
You know, maybe
put a shirt on.
Warm. I don't know. Maybe he sweats easily.
Just stop. Just stop selling
maybe
drugs.
It's from the drugs.
It's probably from the drugs. I would rather buy my drugs from the Bahamian. I can trust him more, probably. I don't know. I don't buy drugs, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't either. You're talking to two people that don't buy drugs.
I don't.
I've never bought drugs in my life. I'm not kidding. I know that people don't believe me when I say that, but I've literally... I don't know what an ounce is. Is that big? I don't know.
I couldn't even tell you.
An ounce, a gram, a pint. I don't fucking...
A pint? A pint? Pint is alcohol. Pint is not drug, I don't think. I don't think you can buy...
It's not drugs.
No. Anyway, another question for you easily is you like music, right? You listen to music?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I also listen to music. I love music.
You do.
I do. I love music. If you go on my Instagram at Sherman Images, I'm always posting music.
Yeah.
On my Instagram story.
Either music or sports.
Yep. Listen to that shit because that's all fire. Or our podcast. Pretty much anything on my Instagram story, listen to it because it's all fire between this podcast and the music. But have you heard of Resurgent Magazine by any chance?
I have.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I can pretend I haven't, if that makes it easier.
No, it's fine. Resurgent Magazine.
Please tell me more about it.
I love Resurgent Magazine. I know the editor-in-chief over there and a lot of the staff over at Resurgent Magazine. They do great work. They go out to concerts around the Detroit area, and they photograph those concerts, and they give pretty little write-ups and reviews of those concerts, and they're all so talented. They have some of the best, I believe, some of the best photographers on staff there. They're doing great things, on Spotify. They're releasing playlists pretty much every month with just eclectic music taste. My playlist is going to come out. I mean, I don't work for them or anything like that, but they asked me to compile a playlist, and they're going to be releasing that at some point. Resurgent Magazine looks to blend the national music scene with the surging Detroit local community by providing top quality coverage of all talent in a consistent and professional manner. And that's what they do.
Mm.
We're not talking little local bands. I mean, we are talking little local bands, but we're also talking giant bands like Fall Out Boy, like Travis Scott. They covered Travis Scott. And big time acts like that. The people over there, they run that magazine. It's not actually a magazine. It's really just resurgentmag.com. You can follow them at all their socials at Resurgent. That's Resurgent, M-A-G. And just look out for the awesome work that they're putting out. It's in really good hands with the people that run it. And they're great at promoting local music. Some of my favorite local bands, A Year in New York, Young Pioneer, Boys of Fall. They're all over that website. It's a beautiful website. Go over there, check that out for them. Anyway, back. You just cracked all of your fingers into the fucking microphone, and that was disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know if it picked up. It probably didn't, but I didn't. So my grandma used to hate, like, she would be like, Dylan, your knuckles are going to be the size of, like, gorilla hands, or, you know, like, if you keep cracking them. And I still do it. Sorry. Rest in peace, grandma. But I crack them almost hourly. So I'm assuming you don't crack your hands.
I do, but I wouldn't do it so that everybody could hear it like that.
I mean, I can't help it. I tune disgusting. It out. I don't really.
She did it. It's not in the recording, and she did it. And my immediate reaction was, that's fucking disgusting. If you ever think about all the shit that, like, grandparents and parents told us when we were growing up that was never true. Like that, like what you just said about the cracking the knuckles.
Yeah.
Like, your knuckles are going to swell up and your hands aren't going to work. And
yeah,
like,
she was you're going to walk by your hands if you keep, like, you know, like they're going to be like that episode of SpongeBob when he has like those arms or whatever, you know, and he, you know what I'm talking about? He like he gets those like.
Oh, he gets giant arms. Buff arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like walks by his knuckles. Like, she's like, it's going to be you.
Sorry, Grandma. I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 26. I'm still walking on my feet. We're good here. I do crack my toes, too, though. I crack all of my body parts. Like,
that's terrible.
I was hoping to get, like, a good neck crack, but I already cracked it, so.
I crack my neck and my back all the time, but and anything else I don't really do because it's gross, and I try not to gross other people out. But
you know,
do you, Dylan? Do you? Another thing that they told us.
I will gross you out by cracking all of the things.
See, that's the beauty of this show, is that last week we were just all similar.
Yeah.
And this week we're just all different. I love it. That's the whole point. I'm so glad I had this concept. My brain works sometimes. another time our parents lied to us is like, remember when your grandma or whoever, an aunt or whatever, uncle, would give you like $5 for something, mm-hmm. and you'd be like, and your parents would be like, I'll hold on to that for you until you need it.
Right. Yeah. And you never see that again.
Never again. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, where'd your $5 go? And you're like, my mom's got it. She's putting it in the bank. And every adult in the room's like, yeah, right. Fucking yeah, right, kid. Thanks. The other one is that, did your mom ever tell you that driving with a light on in the car was illegal?
Yes.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck, dude? Yeah,
she did definitely tell me that. Oh gosh, I wish I could remember. I'm sure that they'll come to me. She's told me some really out there shit. All of my parents, both of my parents have.
Shout out Mama K. Mama K has said some outlandish things over our lifetime.
Yeah.
I love that woman.
She used to
with everything.
Fund your volcano taco addiction.
Oh my god. Volcano tacos were so good. We'd go to football games in high school,
yeah.
and Mama K would pick us up and we'd go to Taco Bell, and me and our friends would get like 90 volcano tacos.
I didn't like them. I've never liked them.
Love,
but you
love
and the
her
guy like that I was dating at the time loved them, and she would get them up. She would buy them for you guys.
We learned that Taco Bell was going to be, shout out Taco Bell, they were going to be discontinuing the volcano taco.
Yeah.
This is our sophomore year of high school, I think, so a long time ago.
Even though they brought them back, obviously, like clearly they lied. Like
They brought back fiery tacos.
Yeah.
It's not the same. They didn't have the volcano sauce. The volcano sauce was the move.
Yeah.
That was the big move.
I remember that, yeah. I also remember after one night of getting all those tacos, you two running around my mom's car. I don't know if you remember that. Or like maybe you like danced in front of her car after.
Sounds like us.
Yeah.
Sounds like us. Sounds like something we'd
like,
do.
Like with volcano tacos in hand. I also remember it was you that made the discovery of mixing both regular Mountain Dew and Baja Blast Mountain Dew together. And mm-hmm. how fucking delicious that was. Also, I remember we spent a lot of time at Taco Bell. But I also remember us walking in there and you seeing your brother for the first time in years or something like that?
It was a stepbrother, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was a stepbrother.
I just remember being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude, I remember that vividly.
Being an only child, I don't randomly run into siblings. So
I would hope not. The weird part about us as high schoolers was we didn't do like what everybody else did when they went to football games. Like we didn't get drunk before.
No, we didn't.
So like we were always sober. So when we ran into my stepbrother at Taco Bell, I remember that shit clear as day.
Yeah.
But when my friend and I, we found out that Taco Bell was discontinuing those heavenly volcano tacos,
yeah.
We went and we got the taco boxes.
Yeah.
And I believe that's 15 tacos in a box. We got three of those boxes. So we got 45 volcano tacos and we ate every single one
that's
of them.
Not
and
awful.
My mom, it was fucking heavenly.
But like, by the
are you
time
kidding
you
me?
Get to the last one, it's probably cold. Like, you know, like that takes time. No?
Taco Bell needs to bring back volcano tacos because they were the best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. I loved them so much. I wasn't even fat yet. Like, I was still skinny then. But yeah, shout out Taco Bell.
You had your blonde hair. Do you remember that?
I do remember. Yeah. So that was cool in the school. It was just for clarity reasons. This was 14 years ago and maybe 12.
How old?
Between 12 and 13.
No, it was like 10 years ago.
Sophomore year. So.
Yeah, it was like 10-ish, 11-ish.
Next year's our 10-year reunion, right? No, two years
know.
From now. 2021.
We're 26.
Okay, and I was 16, so 10 years ago. Okay, so this was 10 years ago.
I was 15. Are you a year older
than me? I'm old. Yeah, I'm old. Well, I'm not a year older than everybody, okay. But my birthday is super early in the year.
That's
yeah,
right.
So I was 16. Everybody else was 15.
February
3rd?
Yeah,
you got it.
Right?
Bingo.
Wow,
remember that, everybody.
Aquarius, right?
February 3rd, baby. Yeah, Aquarius. Aqua Team stand up. And what was I saying? I forgot what I was saying.
Your hair?
Oh, my hair.
10 years
yeah,
ago?
The hair. So I switched from one school to another, and guys, please don't judge me. This was 10 years ago. We're talking 2000 and what? What year is it? 2008, 2009?
2008, yeah.
I had really long hair. I had skater hair.
You had that skater hockey hair.
I did. And I decided, and this was a thing that was like happening at the school I came from, so it wasn't weird where I was. I bleached the bottom part of the back of my head.
Yeah.
So that there was just a small amount of blonde on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all good at the school I was at. But when I came to our school, that was not cool.
You were the only one.
I was the only one. And
and everybody knew you for that. Or it was easy to spot
fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. I got called names that I will not repeat on this podcast. They start with F and G. You can figure it out from there. And, I mean, I didn't really care. I liked it. I mean, it was definitely different for you, conservative Alan Parkers.
I mean, you still, like, girls were still, like, into you. Like, it's not like it, like, messed with your game at all.
You couldn't
like,
even really see it. I'd have to, like, pull my hair up in the back for you to see it. Girls were definitely still into me, you know, charming young man. And, I mean, it was no big deal, but yeah, I had frosted tips in the back. People called me the F word. It was great. Alan Park, my high school experience was fantastic. I'm sure it doesn't affect my mental stability now.
No.
It probably didn't.
No.
Yeah. But no longer blonde in my hair. It's all black and gray now. I mean, it's a majority black, but you can definitely see that gray.
Yeah. Got a little, I guess, silver fox in training or something. I don't know.
In training, girl, I'm already a silver fox. The fuck?
I've always been afraid my whole life that I was going to go gray like super early. And like now I don't give a fuck, but like, probably back when I was a teenager, I was told, like, you're probably going to go gray early. And I'm like, why would you say that? And it was because my grandma had, like, a gray streak in the front of her hair when, like, in her 20s. And I haven't had any sign of that. So I think we're good.
I got it for you. I got it for you. I got the streak. I have the streak. The streak is.
You do.
It's all
your
up in there.
Your hair does that nice swoopy thing now.
It does. I've got great hair.
You're like. You do have good hair.
But you know what? I've learned that I'm not going to complain about the gray. I'm just going to live with it because it could be worse. I have friends that are balding or don't have hair at all. So shout out them.
I mean, no shame if you're balding. I don't give a fuck if you have hair. I don't care if you're balding. Let's just leave it at that.
I care if you're balding. You look like
subjective.
A fucking moron. Go get Bosley.
No. Okay. Wait a minute. on the topic of balding or like very little hair, I've wanted to shave my head for the longest time. Because I don't style my hair. Like, I literally, it's bedhead every single day compared to high school where I would straighten my hair every day.
Yeah.
And all that. Like, I don't do that anymore. So it's just kind of like, why don't I just fucking shave it, donate it, and like just pretty much like repeat the cycle of like shave it, let it grow, shave it again, like all that. Because I've always wanted to try it. And I don't know. But I brought it up to like my mom and stuff, and she was not into the idea.
Of course she wasn't.
Yeah. And it really surprised me and disappointed me. But I was very close to doing it in art school, like senior year, because life was way too much. And I'm like, I cannot handle having hair right now.
I understand where you're coming from. I also understand where your mother is coming from.
On shaving your head.
So your mom kind of falls into like the... She's like on the cusp of like the boomer culture. She's like in that age group.
I know. Like, oh my goodness, Bobby. I remember I had no idea that she was like this. So like I've always wanted tattoos and I don't have any and I'm pissed at myself. If I could go back in time and change anything, I would get tattoos sooner. But just but I remember telling her about tattoos I wanted, thinking like my mom is pretty open-minded. Like she has always been really cool about like talking about like sex and stuff, or you know, like she's not dumb, like she's not turning her head, like she's very much aware of like things. But like I don't know, like with tattoos I was really surprised at how close-minded she is, because I said like I want to get this tattoo and she's like, I won't help you with tuition for school if you do. Or like I remember I brought it up before when I was still living with her and she's like, you won't live here. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. It was just like, I get a tattoo and that means that I'm not going to work hard still. Like, it literally doesn't change anything about me other than I have a tattoo now. Like, that's ridiculous.
So,
I don't know. Like, she just views them as trashy, I guess. And it's just like, but do you understand? I want to like drop like a good amount of money on these tattoos. And like, even my Nana, I remember like a few years ago, I was at like a birthday party. I think it was my birthday party. And she, it was my 23rd birthday party. And I remember she was like, Dylan, you're so smart because you don't have any tattoos. And I'm like, Nana, I'm not smart. I'm just poor. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I would be covered by now if I could. And like, you know, her husband, he's like my step grandfather, I guess. But he was just like, they look so trashy in a wedding dress. God. And I'm like, well, I'm probably not going to get married. So don't worry about that. You won't ever have to see it. I kind of not convinced her, but I like talked her. I helped her see my point of view, because I was just like, listen, like, I really want to pay a good amount of money and get like actual art on my body, you know? And I'm like, so I would want, like, I think before she was like, well, you should get them in places where you can cover them. And it's like, no, if I'm going to really make that investment, I want to show them off. And then she kind of was like, yeah, you know, if you are going to spend that much, people should be able to see
don't
them.
You,
like, hell yeah.
Don't you love it when, like, your grandparents, like, they take, like, their belief systems are so deep rooted in, like, years and years and years of their belief. But you make one valid point to them. And they're like, you know what? I think you're fucking right. Like, so I bought a motorcycle the week before we went to the Bahamas, and my grandma tripped out. Shout out, grandma. Love you. She freaked out, and she did all the, you know, she did everything that you just went through. So I'm not going to go through it again.
Yeah.
And I just brought up like one point. I was like, I'm going to save like $80 in gas in this thing. And she was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Great. Fantastic for you. And, I made like one valid point to her, and she was like, she's still not on board with the decision. My grandparents are like scared shitless of motorcycles for some reason. And they think that like, obviously in a motorcycle, obvious danger in that, you know, I get it. I understand, you know, but I said it in the last one. I think I've said it in all three so far. You're only on the planet one time. And you only get to experience something one time in your entire life. Or you can only get to experience something for the first time one time in your entire life. And I said, fuck it. I bought a motorcycle, but I want to go back to the tattoo thing.
Yeah.
Your mom, obviously very strict and stringent on tattoos. You know, get the fuck out of my house. Yeah. You get a tattoo. My dad, my dad passed away 10 years ago next year. So he's been gone for a while. But I remember when I was 16, 17-ish, right before he passed away, I was like, Dad, I want to get a tattoo. My mom won't sign for me. Him being the, you know, quote unquote, cooler parent, I asked him and he was like, no. And if you ever get a tattoo ever in your lifetime, blah, 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 blah. Trying to be a hard ass. Yeah. And he made me promise that I would never get a tattoo. And I promised. But then he died. So our contract was null and void. And I am covered. I am covered in them. They're all over my body. My entire right arm is covered in almost all the way filled up. I'm just too poor to finish it out.
Dude, I'm too poor to even start. So at least you got like a leg up a little bit.
You'll get there. A lot of mine were presents. People paid for some of them, you know, just
dude,
like
my friend
birthday
Lisa,
presents and stuff.
She's been trying to start like a Dylan tattoo fund. Like literally for the past like 2 years in a row, she's like, let's get tattoos. And we just haven't. It hasn't happened.
A theme in my life is truly just like, if you want to do something, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be somebody like me with the motorcycle and you with the tattoo or whatever else is going on in anyone's life. There's always going to be people that are going to be like, no, don't do it because of this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
But the point that they're missing is they're not living in your life.
Right, right, right.
They don't get to experience what could possibly be the joy or maybe the lesson learned or the regret of the decision that you're about to make. I don't know what's going to happen to me on my motorcycle. Anything could happen from a mistake on my part to a mistake on somebody else's part. You don't take the same risk, but you take a risk going into a tattoo parlor and asking somebody to draw on your skin permanently. You take a risk on them being good at what they do and what they don't do. You could end up with something that you fucking hate. I got a tattoo that I fucking hate on my arm and had to get it covered.
Yeah.
So everything you do in life, there's going to be risk. There's always risk involved. But like I said, you only get one opportunity at this thing. You only get one chance to do something for the first time, one time. Mm-hmm. You only get one chance to own a motorcycle. You only get one chance to get tattoos on your body. I know people that all their tattoos like me, all their tattoos are memorials for people. Everything on my body is for someone else. I know people whose tattoos have no fucking meaning. They just look cool.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. And you can't just let people and their beliefs and and the way that they view the world decide how you want to live.
Right.
Because you'll be fucking miserable. And you don't want to be miserable. You don't want to be miserable all the time. Being miserable all the time is doubly miserable. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So fuck it. Live your life, dude. Like always. I say anything.
Yeah.
Anything. Oh yeah, we never finished the conversation about shaving your head. I'm going to turn around right now and say
I should shave my head.
And say, don't do that. You fall into the perfect like stereotype of somebody who would shave their head, like art student. Like,
because I have a tapestry now.
Because you have a tapestry, the next step is obviously shaving your head.
I have a little checklist.
I get
going. People call me a hipster. I think that's so weird because it's like I've seen hipsters and I don't fit in there. But it's like, I guess to like the average person, I'm like the most vanilla hipster you've ever met. I don't know. Like,
there's levels of hipsterism. You definitely fall in.
And like, I do art and I buy clay earrings. I don't know.
It's those things that make you the hipster. It's not the not eating meat, because Marissa doesn't eat meat and she's a fucking tool bag. She's not a hipster. But like, it's the other things that make you a hipster. Like, obviously, like you have an art degree and like you got a tapestry and like clay earrings and stuff like that. And like, truly, and you know what really I think makes you a hipster? And I think is that like. I'm not.
How do you diagnose a hipster?
From my viewpoint of being just like a douchebag jock kind of guy, I like the idea of hipsterism because you're truly just embracing not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
We go to a vegan restaurant and he walks around in jeans and sandals and his hair is like not super long, but like long. And like he just has this beard and he's like playing the stand up bass for money. And it just seems so free.
Yeah.
But at the same time, his parents might be paying for him to like live, you know?
Yeah,
you don't know.
True. It's like, I feel like a lot of like people that seem to have like a quote unquote bohemian lifestyle are like funded by their parents, when it's just like, that's like the total opposite of bohemian. And I guess even hipster, it's like, did you, are those like thrifted clothes? Did you buy them at Urban Outfitters? Like, is it just a style to you? Is it actually the way that you live? Like, I don't know. It's fashionable to look like you have nothing, but.
Which blows my mind. Like everybody, all the hipsters, like I said, look like they just don't give a fuck. And that's great. I wish I had that mindset, because maybe some of my anxiety would be gone. But at the same time, I enjoy giving a fuck. What do you even consider a hipster? Because like I do some activities and I have some hobbies that aren't what you would think of, like looking at me. Mm-hmm. Like I went to the League of Legends finals. Like I play video games. I have a gaming computer. Like I do nerd. I gang out on the nerd shit all the time. I love anime. But I also fucking love football and lifting weights. Like,
well, I think it's just, I don't know. I know that a few years ago, like everyone kind of went through a surge of like, it's cool to be nerdy or whatever. But it's, I think with anything like sexuality to interests, it's like it all falls on like a spectrum. So, I mean, I think it's okay that you're also like, as you would say, a like douchebag tool that likes anime. Like, you know, it's just, it's all subjective. I don't know. Like you may not like it for the same reasons that like a diehard like weeb likes it, but like.
My best friend is a diehard weeb.
Yeah.
Like my best friend Nick is he's a diehard, like anime, Japanese, everything, games all day long when we're not at work, we work together and just all this stuff. And he's also probably like one of the funniest fucking people I've ever met. Like he loves football. He loves sports. Like you can't just throw one person into some classification and just say, hey, this is you.
Well, right. Yeah. Liking anime isn't a personality trait, you know, it's just like, so there are definitely people that make it their personality, but like, I don't know, it's okay to have all of these interests.
Just to clarify, I do identify as a douchebag jock guy.
I do.
I will identify as a douchebag. A majority of my personality is douchey. I mean, and that's fantastic. Like you kind of have to be a douchebag, to have like a funny, I don't, do you? I don't know. At least for me.
I don't know. I wouldn't call myself a douchebag, but
right.
I'm like unintentionally very blunt. Sometimes I am really bad at censoring myself, or like I just say really off the wall shit. Yeah. I don't know. But like I don't think I've ever been described as a douchebag, but like I definitely think that I can sometimes be taken as rude. I've been told that I come off as stuck up before. When you met me, did you think I was stuck up?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to know Dylan from 10 years ago.
No. That's still, I hear that all the time. People think that I don't like them. People think that I'm stuck up.
You have the face. Like you have that face, but like in high school, you were like preppy popular girl. Like even if you,
I mean, not popular,
you weren't popular, but you looked popular. You weren't popular, but you looked popular. So like you came off as like stuck up and, you know, like bratty preppy girl. I mean, getting to know you, you obviously weren't that. And like you aren't any of that now. Like with me, I look like a douchebag. So I make that my brand of comedy. So if I look like a douchebag, like I have douchey kind of tattoos and I've got the douchey hair and I talk like a fucking asshole. Like I make that who I am.
I feel like you're kind of bro-y, but like I don't know if I'd call you a douchebag, but I mean if you're embracing it, then I'll support you.
So. I'll go synonymous. Bro-y and douchebaggy, synonymous. I personally identify douchebags with like Barstool Sports. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That kind of guy, I guess. There's like frat boy douchebag and there's just normal guy douchebag. I'm definitely not frat boy douchebag. But no. I'm definitely normal dude douchebag and I'm okay with that. It's kind of like my brand of personality, my brand of sense of humor, and it's also my brand of comedy. But I can also get, and as you can tell on this podcast, I can be like a normal human being and have conversations about things that aren't douchey.
Yeah.
So ask any one of my friends.
I would say most of, like, you and I, our friendship isn't rooted on your douchiness, though. Like, our friendship is rooted in, like, having good conversations, which is why we've chosen to, like, record them now. So
I don't think any of my relationships or friendships, or however you want to use that word, is rooted in my douchebagness. Like, obviously our relationship is, like, rooted in conversation. Like, that's what, like you said, that's why we do this. My relationship with Marissa has nothing to do with my douchebagness at all. And all my friendships, like my friendship with Nick is rooted in, like, the weeb, is rooted in, like, gaming and anime and stuff. Just like, I try to base all of my friendships and relationships around what are our common interests. And we'll figure it out from there. But I've got, like I said, I've got no problem. Like, I'm a douchebag sometimes. And it's okay. It's all right. Be who you are.
If you're at peace with it, that's okay.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. What is one thing over the last week that made you smile?
Okay, so you ready for this? So I was shopping at Whole Foods. And literally all I needed to pick up was some pineapple and some coffee creamer. I get in line and there's this like shopping cart and there's like a toddler sitting in like the little like, you know, seat area of the shopping cart or whatever. And then her mom is like on the other side of the cart, like talking to the cashier, like, you know, paying for her groceries. And but like the toddler, like where the cart is, it's like right next to the conveyor belt. So I set my things down in the conveyor belt, and as soon as I set my fucking tub of pineapple down, like it's like a plastic container of pineapple, she grabs it and like not even thinking that this is like a child, like I like went to like grab it back from her without like saying anything. I'm just like, oh, she'll give it back to me. And then I realize, oh, she's pulling back, like she's got a grip.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm like fighting for this thing of pineapple from this like 3-year old. And like, she's just like looking at me like, I don't understand why you want this. And I'm like, you know, saying like, you know, can I have my pineapple back, please? Like trying to like say it loud enough for somebody to pay attention or like her mom to like realize what's happening. And it's not until she's finally done cashing out that her mom turns around and is like, Jasmine, that's not yours. Like, and she was able to get it from Jasmine's grimy little fingers. But, you know, shout out to Jasmine. I
shout
like
out Jasmine's
too,
mom, too, that was, for just being aware.
Yeah. In all of my years of grocery shopping for myself, I've never had a toddler fucking snatch my pineapple off of the conveyor belt. And I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening.
So I went to the Bahamas and bought a motorcycle in the last week. So instead of something that made me smile, I'm going to tell a story about something that will probably make you laugh.
Okay.
Last night, we had torrential, like terrible, terrible downpours here in Michigan. It was coming down, raining. I get home at like 10:30 p.m. I let the dogs out. I start getting ready for bed, you know, I get all my clothes off and stuff, and I'm just rocking around in my boxers like all normal dudes that live alone do. It's not fucking weird. Stop. I hear something run by the window, like the far window. No. And I'm like, the fuck is that? So I walk outside, mind you, minimum clothing.
Yeah.
Pouring rain.
Yeah.
And I see my dog trotting down the street.
No.
Yes. So I have a quick decision to make. Do I just scream for her, knowing she's not going to turn around?
Wait,
yeah.
Rue!
Yeah, I know.
No.
Yeah, I know. So,
you know what? She was probably trying to find me.
Probably.
We really bonded after that last podcast recording, so.
And I'll tell you this. My oldest dog thinks she's a hostage in this house. She'll jump the fence straight up. She's 13 years old. She'll hop over the fence clean and try to just run away. Two winters ago, I chased her in just socks and boxers during a blizzard.
Bobby, no.
I chased her about a mile and a half down. I was freezing. I had frostbite on my feet. Literally, that's not a joke. But this time, she runs out and she's trotting in the middle of the street. So I make the decision to follow her. And I'm sprinting down the middle of my street in a thunderstorm, pouring rain, the black with puddles. And I'm just soaking wet. And I have to pick this fucking dog up because as soon as I get to her, she looks like she's super guilty. She acts like she can't walk on her paw, like she hurt her paw.
Aww.
So she won't walk. So I'm walking down the street with a 80-pound Alaskan Shepherd. She's a big bitch. Literally. So I'm walking down the street with an 80-pound Alaskan Shepherd in no clothes.
In the pouring
rain. That's how I ended like an 18-hour day. It was fantastic. Yeah, in the pouring rain. Thinking about that, doesn't make me smile, but it makes everybody else smile. So I love that.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do is laugh in something like that. Just like, a fucking course.
It's not
like,
the first time, and it won't be the last time. She loves to run away. She hates me. She hates me. She stands by the window and she stares out it. I think she's looking for her last owners.
Aw.
She's like thinking that her last owners are going to come get her.
Yeah.
But sorry, bitch, you're mine. You're stuck for the next 2 years or whatever, how long ever you're alive.
Has she always been like that, though? Or just
since I got her.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was it just since you've gotten the other dogs? But
no, it's always been like this. That's fine. Anyway, if you made it to this part of the podcast, it's over. We're done. We made it.
We're done.
Another week. Another 25 cents. no topic this week. We don't know what we're talking about next week, so I can't give you a preview of that. If you made it this far, just look down a little bit on your screen. There's like some stars there. If you hit 5 for us, that would help us a lot. That'd help us greatly, actually. And if you liked what you heard, go back and listen to our other ones because they're a lot more insightful than this one was.
Listen. You just got back from the Bahamas. Like, we needed a chill cast.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. We should do a no topic one.
We can do
every now and again.
Yeah, we should allow that for ourselves, that leniency.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. I had a thought, but it's gone.
Thought is gone. Yeah. This has been Similarly Different. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.